Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
We're examining what the new GOP Health Care Act means for access to health care and abortion services for women. The legislation that GOP House leaders introduced Monday night would prevent Planned Parenthood from receiving federal reimbursement money from Medicaid for health care services to low-income women. It's also written in a way that could affect the access women who get their health insurance from their jobs have to abortion services, we'll explain. Sarah Stays is with us. She's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and she joins me today by phone. And Sarah, welcome back to the show. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Carrie.
You knew this was coming, right? But are there elements of the proposal that have taken you by surprise?
No, we knew this was coming for some reason that's highly inexplicable to me. The Republicans in Congress and Donald Trump just simply won't let go of their assertion that federal dollars go to pay for abortion. And I just want to start out by saying that they don't. They never have. This has been banned since 1977. And so this whole idea about making Planned Parenthood ineligible to participate in the Medicaid program because it will stop abortions is completely nonsensical.
We're going to talk about the Medicaid details here in just a second. I asked you if you were a bit surprised about this because of some of the things that then-candidate, now President Trump, said about the services that Planned Parenthood provides. Let's listen.
As far as Planned Parenthood is concerned, I'm pro-life. I'm totally against abortion having to do with Planned Parenthood. But millions and millions of women, cervical cancer, breast cancer, are helped by Planned Parenthood. So you can say whatever you want, but they have millions of women going through Planned Parenthood that are helped greatly. And I wouldn't fund it. I would defund it because of the abortion factor, which they say is 3%. I don't know what percentage it is. They say it's 3%, but I would defund it because I'm pro-life.
Okay, so a couple things there to clarify. The president obviously does not believe that you separate abortion services from the federal money that comes into Planned Parenthood. So you'd best explain that yet again.
I guess I'd best explain it yet again. Under no circumstances are federal dollars used to fund abortion at Planned Parenthood, or as far as I know, anywhere else in the country. It's illegal. It has been illegal for a long time, and it does not happen. We are audited by outside auditors every single solitary year and have been for decades. And I can back up my assertion with outside audit data. So when people say that federal money is used to pay for abortion, they are making up alternative facts. It's just not true.
So the president also mentioned the health care screenings and services that Planned Parenthood provides to women, low-income women, women that need help with the costs of that kind of thing. And this is where the Medicaid part of this comes in. This new version, I guess, of the Affordable Care Act would stop Medicaid reimbursements for those services, right? Those health care services. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And, you know, this term defund Planned Parenthood is really confusing to people because it makes it seem like there's some big, you know, publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes bonanza line in the federal budget that gives $500 million to Planned Parenthood. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is that Planned Parenthood is reimbursed for services that we provide the same way every single solitary other health provider in the country, health partners and Mayo and Align and so on and so forth, are reimbursed for services that we provide. And so when they talk about defunding Planned Parenthood, they're really talking about defunding women and preventing women from having freedom of choice as to their doctor.
I want to go in. I know you understand this, Sarah, but I still think this is a little confusing. Let's say you're a woman who receives some Medicaid services to get a pap smear or some other kind of screening. You come into Planned Parenthood to have that done. What then happens between Planned Parenthood and Medicaid and the federal government?
What happens at that point is that, just like at any other health provider, we submit a claim to Medicaid to be reimbursed for the service that we provide. It's the same way it works everywhere else. And in fact, it's the same way it works with commercial insurance, too. Women make a choice as to where they go, and their insurance covers the cost of that service. And so what is being proposed here is that women could not use their Medicaid insurance to see the doctor of their choice because we could not be reimbursed for services that we provide to them.
Okay, I appreciate you going through that. There are also implications here, potentially, for women who get their health care insurance through their jobs who might want their insurance to cover an abortion if they decided to have one. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And this is also a proposal that has floated around from time to time. And it basically would say that certain insurance plans would not be allowed to cover abortion services. So if a woman wanted to make sure that should she ever need an abortion, it would be covered by her insurance, she would have to purchase a rider to cover that insurance. And I just think it's highly unlikely that women would do that, and highly unlikely that those riders would even be widely available in the market, frankly.
I'm sorry, you were going to add?
Well, I was just going to say that. So what that effectively means is that women's insurance would no longer cover their abortions. And one in three American women do have an abortion in their lifetime. So it's not an uncommon procedure for women, even though the rate of abortion is going down quite fast.
Sarah Stays is with us if you've just tuned in. She's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and giving us her perspective from her view in that role of some of the language in this health care bill that House GOP Republicans have introduced to replace the ACA. If you have questions specifically about this part of the bill, 651-227-6000. If you have questions again about this federal funding, how it does or doesn't apply to abortion services, 800-242-2828. And if you're on Twitter and listening this morning, it's at Kerri, K-E-R-R-I, M-P-R. A call here from Mike in Minnesota. Hi, Mike. Your question for Sarah.
My question is how much money or income does Planned Parenthood receive from abortions? And if it's only 3% of an income, because it is an income, why couldn't Planned Parenthood just stop abortions altogether?
All right, Sarah.
So I'm sorry. I think I understood his question to be why, if only 3% of our services are abortion services, why don't we just stop providing them? And the reason is because we have a long-standing ethical commitment to provide the full range of reproductive health services to women that they want and they need. We've had that commitment for 100 years. And I simply cannot envision that we would back away from that commitment today.
Sarah, one of the other arguments that supporters of this new health care legislation have made is that there are other clinics that women who are in a low-income situation can go to that don't provide abortion services and aren't Planned Parenthood, and they'll still get the screenings that we've been talking about. That's true, too, isn't it?
No, actually, that's not true. The American Public Health Association has called claims like that completely ludicrous. And it's not that there aren't community clinics available and other providers available in this country. Of course there are, and they see many women. But the idea that they could absorb 2.5 million women that we currently see is just completely ridiculous. If you call around right now, for example, to try to make an appointment at many OBGYNs and other providers, community clinics, you will find that your wait to get into those clinics is already quite long. At Planned Parenthood, patients can be seen the same day or the next day when they make an appointment, and that's really important when you need birth control or you think you might have a sexually transmitted infection or a lump in your breast or something that needs to get examined right away. So taking Planned Parenthood off the provider grid would have disastrous consequences for many, many people.
I hear you on that, but I do want to be clear that there are other health care providers that accept Medicaid patients where women, and I hear you saying that the patient lists are long and it's very difficult to get in, but there are other health care providers that will accept these Medicare and be reimbursed for them that are not Planned Parenthood that women could conceivably go to. Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. There's no question about that. But if you have Medicaid as your insurance and you can't get in for 6 weeks, it's almost like not having access at all if you've got an emergency.
I want to ask this question, I guess, delicately, because in some ways, this is no small amount of money, this $500 million in Medicaid reimbursements. But you also know that for a long time, Planned Parenthood has been the target of Republicans who do not believe that you should be providing abortion services. Is there in some ways some discussion about if we could move away from needing this federal funding, we could be freed in some ways of being, you know, tied to the political whims of whatever is happening in Washington? I think you know what I'm asking.
Yes, I do know what you're asking. The problem is that the Medicaid funding is intended to cover a public health need in this country. And unfortunately, there just is not enough philanthropic private support to make up the difference between what the federal government currently covers for women's health and what women need. So truly, we could continue to provide some limited services without Medicaid funding, but many, many, many people would suffer as a result.
A call here from Bethany in Minneapolis. Hi, Bethany.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, Sarah. This is Bethany with the Women's March Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just calling because today is International Women's Day. It's the women's strike, a day without a woman for Women's March. And it needs to have attention drawn to it. The irrationality that if this proposed plan directly affected a clinic that primarily served men and treated men for prostate health and prostate cancer, defunding wouldn't even be on the table. This feels as a direct attack on women, and that is not okay. And today, more than any, we need to raise our voices about this. We need to stand up for Planned Parenthood, and we need to stand up for women.
Sarah, do you want to add to that? And Bethany, thanks for the call.
Well, I guess I'd just like to say thank you for that, and also to point out that in 19 polls now that have been taken since the election, Planned Parenthood's popularity has just continued to go up and up and up. And I was struck, Carrie, by the clip that you played of Donald Trump at the beginning of the segment talking about all of the good that Planned Parenthood does. And that's because we do a lot of good. And also, I think that politicians on both sides, the right and the left, understand that our popularity is both so broad and so deep that taking on Planned Parenthood is actually a rather perilous thing for them to do. So I will be quite curious to see if they are able to muster the support to do this, because if they do, they will certainly suffer some significant political consequences.
One note on that, Speaker Ryan was just speaking to reporters here a couple minutes ago and said, this is what conservative health care reform looks like. I noticed that Senator Lisa Murkowski, who is a Republican of Alaska, said yesterday that she didn't think the Planned Parenthood language should be in the ACA. I mean, there's going to be a lot of attention for all of the different reforms in this bill. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of attention paid to this. In the end, what do you think happens?
Well, in the end, I think people will come to remember that teen pregnancy rates are at their lowest ever, that the rate of unintended pregnancy generally is at its lowest rate in 30 years, that abortion is at its lowest rate since Roe v. Wade, and that Planned Parenthood is not the problem here. Planned Parenthood is the solution. and we are demonstrating results in this country. So I think it will be difficult for politicians to walk away from those results and go back to a time when teen pregnancy was going up and abortion rates were going up.
Sarah, thanks very much for the time and for the perspective this morning.
Thank you.
Sarah Stays is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and giving us her view this morning on how some of the language in this health care reform bill will affect Planned Parenthood and the controversy that that is generating about that language.